Now it's time for Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
It is time for Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party. Today we spoke about what's happening with iwi radio stations and she mentioned an announcement on Friday regarding a Māori media strategy. But I started by asking how her week's been and why she's been visiting different iwi radio stations around the motu.
Started actually with, goes right back to our coalition negotiations where one of the interest areas for New Zealand First was to support iwi radio. We know that in the past they've been under a funding freeze, a little bit similar to RNZ with their funding freeze. So we see iwi radio as a vitally important network for people to connect with, not just in terms of te reo Māori, but also for those who are in our communities, that and which is like all radio, particularly community radio, it's a vital link into your community.
It is. It's fantastic, and they do some really, really great work, and they do work that is specific to that area. So how are iwi radio stations funded right now?
Right, currently they get, there's 21 iwi radio stations. There's a funding which comes from Te Māngai Pāho, $10.5 million for the 21 iwi radio stations. So they basically get $500,000 each. However, they've been under pressure recently to increase their audience. There was an ask to have them increase their, grow the audience by 2%, which I believe is completely unrealistic in our media landscape today. We know that audiences are falling right across the board in the way people engage with their media. So to get a 2% increase, we've been looking at how can they do that. Well, the only way for them to do that is really to grow in a community environment. So all the mainstream networks no longer operate purely community radio stations anymore. So there is the one exception in Whakatane, there's 1XX. They are very much of a community-based radio station. So this is an opportunity I see for iwi radio to grow, if there is any growth to be had. Audiences right across the media spectrum are flatlining, if not slightly declining. So to grow an audience in this market, you have to take your unfair market share. It's the only way to grow an audience.
Where are those numbers from in terms of audiences dropping?
Right across the radio market survey, GSK are the ones who supply iwi radio with their figures and their and they only literally market the main centre, so they don't market all they don't survey out into the very small regions, so it's very hard to gauge the exact numbers of listeners in those small markets.
It's, I mean, my personal knowledge regarding iwi radio stations, often when I go visit family down the line, I'll listen to Korimako and Taranaki or Radio Tainui in Waikato and that sort of thing. My understanding is that they do a lot of work around te reo, and it's about the specific dialect of that area and engaging with stories of that area. That's not necessarily a commercial obligation, right? You can't expect them to be...
I agree, and we can't actually survey the cultural impact of iwi radio, and that's the difference, and that's the argument that Te Whakaruru Ho has been, because that's the umbrella branch that governs these iwi radio stations, that they have been putting up, is that how can you survey the cultural impact, the importance of protecting a dialect, the importance of recording that dialect and preserving it as a taonga, which is the whole mandate that the government has, is that the Crown is obliged to support taonga, which is te reo Māori, and that when taonga is in a vulnerable state, then it must step in. So that's one of the critical arguments that I'm hearing at the moment with iwi radio. So my role really is, because I have a love of radio anyway, and I have this connection with iwi radio, and we see how valuable and vulnerable it is at the moment, then my job is now to do this road trip, to talk to those radio stations and feedback that to the minister.
And so that road trip is just to hear them out and say what, you know, figure out what they need at this point.
Well, yes, it is to go and actually put a government face inside iwi radio, because, you know, some of them, yes, like Wātea, they regularly speak to various ministers and members of parliament, but to have someone go out into the regions who is a member of parliament and who's, you know, who has a mandate from the minister to do this work, then I think that says to them, yes, we support you, and we're here to work through and navigate through this changing media landscape. So that's kind of my role, and so that's something I've undertaken. I'm really looking forward to spending time today. I'm heading up to Radio Kahununu up in Hawke's Bay. Then I head to Tuwharetoa in Turangi. They're based. That's on tomorrow's agenda. Then I head off to Wellington after that for the Māori Media Strategy, which has been released at Te Māngai Pāpō tomorrow night. I'm not sure exactly what is going to be released, so I'm looking forward to that. And my hope and expectation with that is that radio is seen as an equally vibrant and important part of the Te Reo Māori Strategy. We are hearing conversations which came up in the Māori Affairs Select Committee which are concerning me, and that's around Te Māngai Pāhua making a shift away from funding platforms and only funding content. And I think there is, you know, from my perspective, some danger in that, because we know that radio, yes, it is slightly declining, but it's not declining at the rates of, say, print media or terrestrial television. So we can't really lose faith with radio. We know it's a vitally important way of connecting with our people. And I think really the message that I'm going to be taking to, and have spoken with Te Whakaruru Hou already, is that iwi radio needs to, yes, it needs to develop some digital capacity, but that could be listening via an app or live streaming on the internet, but we really shouldn't lose faith in radio at this stage, because radio has held its own pretty much compared to the other media in our landscape.
Are these stations at risk of closing?
There are the possibilities that this could be a few. Some are far more robust and vibrant and have great strategies which will set them up well for how media is changing. For example, Te Huku Media in the north, they are engaging across multi-platform, so they've really solidified the work that they're doing, not just on radio, but, you know, putting out digital, doing live streams, and we saw that over the course of the election. They did some fantastic live stream debates. In fact, I would have to say that they were the best debates of the entire general election. So yeah, great up to Peter Lucas and his team at Te Huku Media. I think we're seeing some great work, and there are some smaller stations which are in very remote, and if I take the Northland Taitokoro example, we also have another station, Tautoko FM, which is a much smaller operation. They do go out and do live stream broadcasts, for example, whenever we've had treaty hearings. So they're actively involved, but they're catering for perhaps an older audience. So Te Huku definitely has a younger focus and a younger vibe, but we do know that there is a large listenership over 50 that are listening to iwi radio.
Very cool. I love what Peter is doing also.
I think we all do, don't we?
It's very important. So
I'm really looking forward to catching up with him on Thursday night. He's going to be at this media launch, Māori Media Strategy launch.
So yeah, so is that a government, is the government giving Te Māngai Pāhu money to do that, or?
This is, I believe, Te Māngai Pāhu are putting on this event. I'm sure he's, they've been working with the minister on this. Yes, but I'm very much looking forward to how it's going to roll out. And so I'm really there to ensure that the radio voice is not lost inside this, and that we don't think everything needs to be on a digital platform, because we still know we have a lot of whānau, particularly in our isolated areas, that really absolutely rely on their iwi radio station to connect them into their community. And we can't let that fall over.
You said that it goes back to your coalition negotiations. I wasn't aware that this was a part of that. A lot of people, I mean, it's known or fairly well known that New Zealand First is more of a one people, you know, that kind of rhetoric. How does iwi radio stations fit into that? Because it is quite a specific area for Māori.
Well, yes, absolutely. And this is, I think, where we really have a need to break down the myths surrounding who and what is New Zealand First. We've been very much a headline grabber around these sorts of issues. Who are the ones that went first in to support and ensure the right funding for our Māori wardens? That was New Zealand First. So we do have a history of supporting Māori initiatives, and we see iwi radio, it's a public entity, it's public broadcasting, it must be protected. I think what we, you know, what I hope from this conversation that I'm having with iwi radio is that, you know, once people realise, yes, actually New Zealand First, we embrace Māori taonga as New Zealand taonga, and it must be supported equally.
We've been speaking with Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
The Wire.